beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us a very, very special guest. We've had her on before, but many of you probably don't recognize her name, or may have forgotten. But Darlene Catalan has written a fascinating book, Badge of Dishonor. And she was a special agent for the U.S. Customs Division and dedicated, really believed in what she was doing, until she began to realize the degree of corruption that existed at the upper echelon of her organization. And when she tried to go through the regular channels to really get the situation straightened out, she realized that she was being betrayed by the legal representatives who were supposed to be representing her. Darlene, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and, of course, how it happened that you eventually left the U.S. Customs Service and now really working to try to expose the degree of corruption that you experienced at the upper echelons of the U.S. Customs Service and the government itself.
Yes, well, at the time that I kind of stumbled into what we found, I had been on board about 9 years with U.S. Customs Service under Department of Treasury. And prior to that, I was an officer in the Military Police Corps, U.S. Army. And I had had a stellar career up to that point. I had, you know, no letters of, you know, nothing but letters of commendation and awards. I didn't even have as much as a butt chewing in any of my files. And basically, I was running what's called an OSIDEF operation, and OSIDEF stands for, it's a fancy government acronym that stands for Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. And it was a rail operation where we were working suspected narcotic smuggling in pressurized rail tanker cars. These are the tanker cars that we were looking at were the metal cylindrical shaped cars that many people see that they think they carry oil in them, and they do carry oil. But they also carry a myriad of very hazardous materials, and it makes them very difficult to inspect, something that the narcotic smugglers figured out a long, long time ago. Again, we weren't guessing. We had very good information, very high up, that these tanker cars were being brought across by one of the most dangerous cartels, the Ariano Felix cartel. And sure enough, our information turned out to be correct. We seized one of these tanker cars, and it had 8,000 pounds of marijuana and 34 kilos of cocaine. And from that point on, pretty much that time frame, myself and anyone else who elected to assist me in this case became a living nightmare.
In other words, there were some people who didn't want you to find the marijuana and the cocaine.
It would seem that way, for sure. Following that, we identified, again, through similar sources, 5 more tanker cars. And we were unable to, I was basically shut down, and I wasn't allowed to do my job regarding these 5 tanker cars.
So about this time, you're beginning to say, hey, there's got to be somebody at the upper echelon of the U.S. Customs Office who is working with these criminals, bringing drugs into this country. And, of course, now that I'm trying to get them, why I'm coming under surveillance myself. We're going to be back here in just a few moments, and you'll get much more of this amazing, amazing story with Darlene Catalan. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Darlene Catalan, and she was a special agent for the U.S. Customs Service for a number of years, until, of course, she discovered that there were people at the upper echelons of her agency, who were actually doing everything they could to prevent her from doing what she was employed to do, and that was stopping narcotics from coming into this country. And so there were these round cylindrical tanker cars on the railway that are being brought in, and many times they'll carry oil, other times they'll carry waste products, but they were being brought in from Mexico, and of course they knew, Darlene, through agencies and informants knew, they were containing narcotics. She found one that was loaded with narcotics, and then after that she knew that there were other cars coming in, and of course everything was done to block her from doing what was supposed to be done. What did they do to block you, to prevent you from stopping the narcotics from coming in?
Well, the first thing is, again, we identified five more cars. These cars were manifested as empty. They weighed on average about 9 tons overweight, and they were from the same suspect company we had just gotten a load from, and there was a lot, if that's all we had, if the fact that they were manifested as empty and they were that much overweight, that alone, we should have what's called pressure tested them. But we had all of these other indicators to include, you know, again, we weren't guessing. We had high up information directing us in this area. And to pressure test these tanker cars, it's a real important step. Again, these cars cost anywhere from $8,000 to $14,000 per car to bleed out and inspect. You have to take them to a hazardous materials specialist location and have them inspected because, again, they're very dangerous to look at. And there's only two locations on the southern border where there are scales to weigh them and a hazmat area to go and bleed them out. And that makes them incredibly difficult and expensive to check. And that's why the narcotic smugglers are smart. They figured that out a long time ago. Anyway, pressure checking tells you, there's a gauge at the top of these things, and that tells you very much about what is or is not inside of that tanker car. And I was not even allowed to do that. Pressure testing cost $0 to the government. I could have done that. It would have taken me maybe 45 minutes to do all five cars. I had them set up, ready to do that, and I was ordered not to do my job.
All right, fine. Now, we're going to be back in just a moment with Darlene. We've got to bring one more station online, and then, of course, we'll have everybody in the network there. Darlene, ready to, of course, try to intercept more in the way of drugs, and she is ordered. Everything's all set and ready to go, and the orders come down that she is not to pressure test these tanks. They've been moved into the place, and so when we get back in just a moment, we'll let you tell you exactly what happened. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Darlene is telling us that, of course, they knew that there were five cars. They were probably containing narcotics. They're overweight, and they're much overweight. Everything points to the fact they're loaded with narcotics. It wouldn't cost anything to pressure test them. And so where do the orders come from that tells you not to do what you're being paid to do?
Well, we're in the deposition phase of the federal litigation
right now.
All right,
fine. So we don't ask.
I can answer that, but how I'm going to answer it is that's a good question, because at the deposition phase right now, we're deposing all of these managers under oath in federal court. And, of course, the combination of memory loss and pointing the finger the other way leads us to, you know, who knows where that came from exactly. Everybody, you know, it's one of those things, when the lights are on, the rats are running for cover, and that's exactly what's going on in these depositions. Everybody is to the point to where they're going to cover their own behinds and either, you know, point the finger downward, so-and-so didn't brief me, or have memory loss. I don't remember the five tanker cars, which is absurd. If you're a high-level manager and another manager briefs you on these cars and highly suggests we look at them, and, you know, and two other agents brief you on these cars and argue with that, magically, what, 4 or 5 years later, you're forgetting that. I mean, but that's what's going on in these depositions.
All right, fine. And, of course, you're trying to get the truth of this out, and so somebody obviously does not want you to intercept the drugs. So, anyway, of course, I suppose you had to let the tankers go on then, the tanker cars go on?
What I did is I was certainly not going to do that. I was trying to thread a thin line here. Again, this was an OCDF case. It was a multi-agency case. And I immediately, when that order was given, got on the phone to the federal prosecutor, who's a judge, by the way, now, who was running this case with us, I called her at the U.S. Attorney's office and told her what was going on. She was, needless to say, shocked and appalled, and I told her, look, I'm taking this paperwork over, and I'm going to give it to one of the detectives from the San Bernardino Police Department, Renato Giannini, who, you know, if I can't look at him, by God, somebody else is. And that didn't work, because by the time Renato and the rail people got their act together, because it takes a day or two to do this, someone had gone into the system and overridden my customs hold and released these tanker cars.
Yeah.
So it never happened. I mean, someone in the customs system went in and through the customs computer system did an override, which triggered an override in the EddyStar system with Union Pacific, Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad, and they were released before we had a chance to pressure test them.
So basically now you're suspicious that somebody within the U.S. Customs Service is working with the narcotic smugglers, and, of course, you want to, of course, rectify this. So what do you do next now?
Well, that caused me to then investigate further. When I got the phone call from a Union Pacific special agents who were also working on this case with us, who was saying, where are the cars? And I'm like, what do you mean, where are the cars? You have the cars. And he's like, no, you guys released them. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, I didn't release them. So I got into the system and started looking at all of my holds on all of these front companies from this cartel that we knew about. Again, we weren't guessing here. And I had holds, and I started thinking, wait a minute, I should have had more and more tanker cars other than these five. I should have been getting phone calls that these things were on their way up to be weighed. And I looked back, and over 100 times somebody had gone into the system and overridden every one of my holds in the system, and these cars were being released before they even made entry into the country.
So they've got friends in high places right here in our government. So then what happens?
Then my life went to hell, along with everybody else's who did this with us. Starting from the beginning, right when we seized the first tanker car, all of us became under one bogus internal affairs investigation after another. U.S. Customs is allowed to investigate itself, and it has its own internal affairs agency, which is commonly referred to as the Goon Squad for Customs. And that's what they are. And we have several supervisors, high-up supervisors. We have one that was a SAC, which is Special Agent in Charge, which is very high-up internal affairs investigator, who's going to testify in this case. That is exactly the case. That the Internal Affairs Office branch of U.S. Customs is just that. It is used as an enforcement arm for corrupt managers in customs to go after anyone who doesn't fall in line, anyone who doesn't do exactly what they're told to do, no matter how wrong it is.
Now, I think, really, if you read the book, Badge of Dishonor, the foreword is written by Gary Aldrich. And Gary Aldrich, as you know, we've had him on earlier this week. He was a FBI agent, worked in the White House. I think he had 26 years in the FBI. And he talks about the mafia's code of silence. You are a member of the Mafiosa. Why, of course, you're told you will never talk about anything. If you are, you'll be tortured to death. We'll kill your whole family and torture them to death, too. You are not going to talk. And, of course, that's how they maintain their silence. But he points out that there is a similar code within government agencies, or at least within the FBI. You are never to talk to anybody about anything. You know, if you do, we will destroy you. And this was implied from the very first time you got into the FBI until you finally retired. You were never to tell anybody about misconduct. You know, you could try to straighten it out inside, but what do you do when it's the people above you that you have to go through to report misconduct? And so it sounds like the same sort of thing existed within the U.S. Customs Service.
Yeah, in a big way. In fact, it's probably way worse than the FBI. The U.S. Customs Service is the largest federal agency. Not only that, the U.S. Customs Service has an authority that no other agency has, and it's called Border Search Authority. What that means is any other cop in the continental United States has to have one of two things to conduct any kind of search. That is, A, probable cause, or B, a search warrant. And nowadays, probable cause, most prosecutors don't like that. They want the cops to go ahead and get a search warrant. Okay? The U.S. Customs Service, on a border entry or exitway, either way, they have what's called Border Search Authority, which is a warrantless search. In other words, I can search anyone coming into this country or about to leave this country and their commodities and their containers And I don't need a warrant, and I don't need probable cause. That's an awful lot of authority to have, and that's also an awful lot of authority to abuse. This agency has the authority to do their job, and they're clearly not doing that. And in today's world, with the threat of terrorism, our open borders, that's a really scary thing to have happen.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, now you're being investigated by sort of like an internal affairs, and of course they're really trying to give you a bad time. You've been reported, obviously, you're not something corrupt about you, and you're trying to tell them, look, we're just trying to do our job, and this is why they're after us. Is that it?
Yes. Immediately, all my help was pulled, and I joked with the prosecutor. It very quickly became the OCDEF task force of me, myself, and I, except for, a couple of guys from the other agencies. And anyone who bothered to assist me on this case, what do you do when you don't have official help? Well, you go to your friends. Well, they immediately went after my friends who were helping me on this case. And again, one internal affairs investigation after another. And in these investigations, you're brought into a room, you're read your rights, you're treated like a criminal. We found surveillance poll cameras on two egresses of my partner's house, where they actually took the taxpayers' money and mounted surveillance poll cameras that what we would use normally on a crook's house.
Well, of course, you think this was to intimidate you?
You bet it was. They made very little effort to conceal these. This guy's home, this guy was a prior, first he was with Fontana Police Department as a narcotics dog handler, then he was with Secret Service for 7 years, and then he had been with Customs for 7 years. This is a very street-savvy, observant guy. They knew he was going to see them. And it was all designed, just to intimidate us. Then we were being followed everywhere we went, and the surveillance, either you choose to believe that these were the dumbest federal agents on the face of this earth, or they made very little effort to conceal the fact that they were following
us. Well, I think I've heard this technique used over and over again. They do this to frighten people, and nobody wants to think that they're being watched, because after all, maybe they'll find something out about me. Maybe they'll put me in jail. Maybe they'll take everything I have. And so this frightens you and is really an effort to intimidate you, as they would in any fascist society.
Yeah, basically that's a good way of putting it. It got really bad. I received a threatening letter at my house. You could not have put any more heat at our doors than what was going on, the type of heat that they were putting on our door. Sandy Nunn, who also wrote a foreword in this book, her father died. She was put on a bogus 3-day suspension. I mean, it was just totally manufactured, bogus stuff, and she was suspended without pay for 3 days. On the second day of her suspension, her father dropped. He was worried about us. One of the last things he said, before he died, the days before he died, is he said, "I'm old and I'm sick and I can't help my daughter." He was extremely worried about, because he'd been with the federal government, too, for a long time. He'd been with Border Patrol and INS. And he had obviously seen the long arm of the government also. He was extremely worried about how high up this was and, the Pandora's box that we had opened. And he died. He dropped dead in her backyard the second day of her suspension. Immediately after finding out that her father died the same day, and yes, these managers knew about this, they initiated that same day an internal affairs investigation on her, the day her father died. This is how evil these people are.
All right, fine. So anybody who is trying to help you is getting into more and more trouble, and you must be getting a little worried about this time yourself, about your job.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew at that point that they would stop at nothing to include manufacturing false evidence on us.
Well, were you worried about they might go to even a greater length in the way of some sort of physical violence against you?
Yes, I was in great fear of everything, and that's when I started realizing, hey, it's time to do something to distance myself from this.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with more of the story of Darlene Catalana and her book, A Badge of Dishonor. We're going to carry this book. I think it's a great, great book. And you'll want to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask about Badge of Dishonor. I think it's an important book. You'll want to read it. You want to get it to your friends, too.
Hey, Anglo-American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to tell you a little bit about the Big Berkey water filters. And in times like this, it's certainly nice to know that you have something that will allow you to have potable water no matter where you are or what happens. And so the Big Berkey has been used by missionaries really for 150 years. They're stainless steel filters. They'll actually filter about 25 gallons of water a day. They have actually ceramic filters inside that are packed with activated carbon, and they'll filter out the bacteria and many of the minerals and many of the heavy pesticides, things of that sort you don't want to get out. This is an excellent source of good water. Now, they will not filter out fluoride and arsenic. If you want those, of course, you have to have special post filters on the bottom, and you order those separately. They're called the PF4 filters, but the Big Berkey is a standard, and of course it stood the test of time. It's available ordinarily for $279. We offer it for $239 if you order it through Radio Liberty. Why, you'll get either a 4-tape set or a video that we've actually produced. So that is the Big Berkey water filter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But remember, of course, this is not available in either California or Iowa. Now, if you are in California and like to get a water filter, it's a portable water filter. It's called the Berkey Light, and it's built on the same dimensions. It'll filter 25 gallons a day. It's transparent. It's made of the same material that you make bulletproof glass out of. It has a black Berkey filter that really purifies the water, even more efficient than the standard Big Berkey filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, depending upon how much they're used. So if you'd like to find out about the Berkey Light water filters, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You'll actually see pictures of the water filters there. And if you want to order them, the Berkey Light's $199. As they say, you'll get the 4-tape set or the video if you order it to us. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest today is Darlene Catalan. She's telling us the story of her book, A Badge of Dishonor. So now, of course, she suddenly realizes that somebody is out to get her, and she doesn't understand why. She's not done anything wrong. She's trying to do what's right. She's actually trying to get the bad guys and stop the narcotics from coming in here. And somebody with a great deal of power, of course, is out to get her. So pick up the story from there.
Pretty much at that point, we realized that, you know, we tried using the chain of command, and at that point, we realized the chain of command obviously was the problem. This went up as high as Ray Kelly. Ray Kelly, who is now a commissioner of the New York City Police Department, who I will state emphatically should not be the commissioner of a dog pound. He knew every step of the way what was happening to us because we reported it directly to him via sworn statement repeatedly, myself and Ruben Sandoval, and he did nothing. Also, the head of internal affairs was alerted about this, you know, and he did nothing. They refused to investigate this. Subsequently, 24 customs agents risked their career and everything else, and they signed a letter. It was like a four-page letter begging Senator Dianne Feinstein to come down and investigate this. What does she do? 2 weeks after she received this letter, and she did receive it, we faxed it, we had a fax transmittal, and we certified mail it, and we also have that. I get frantic phone calls from the SAC Los Angeles down at Terminal Island at the time, saying that she's out on one of the customs yachts rubbing elbows with the very customs managers that were pointing the finger at. And needless to say, there was no investigation. Only the people who signed that, and everybody who signed that letter, immediately, you know, got transferred, or bad things started happening to everybody that even touched this.
Now, there are 25 customs agents who risked their career to try to help you, and Dianne Feinstein goes over and is helping the other side.
You bet. It would appear that way. She has done nothing. I've gone on repeated radio shows, The O'Reilly Factor, and I've called her out. I've even written an article that was about her lack of protecting whistleblowers and her undermining this investigation or failing to do her job in initiating an investigation. And each and every time, people will call her office and ask her to respond. And, of course, there's never any response. Subsequent to that, one of the SAC Los Angeles, who we were definitely pointing the finger at, saying, look, this guy's got to be a part of it.
Darlene, our listeners don't know what a SOC is. So
a SAC, I'm sorry. SAC stands for Special Agent in Charge. It's a very high-level manager.
Fine.
Yeah, who runs, you know, who has a lot of other supervisors under him and a lot of agents under him. That's a pretty high-up manager. And we were trying to get this investigated, get somebody to look at this. We even went to the FBI. There was seven of us that sat down with a member of the FBI out of San Diego and trying to get him to investigate. He was with the Public Corruptions Unit, and he did nothing, absolutely nothing. There was no investigation on this whatsoever. And at that point, we realized that, you know, they're going to destroy our careers, and it's already started. And Sandy and I made the ultimate decision that we're not going to give them a chance to do that, you know. And we both resigned in protest.
And, of course, they figured that's really what they wanted you to do. And then you're gone, and then they can, of course, continue their drug smuggling and whatever rewards they're getting for this. But they didn't really understand that you were not the person to give up.
No, I knew, and so did Sandy, that we knew that we weren't just going to quit and fade away. I knew that I was going to write this book. I knew that we were going to go public. And we did. And so far, even going public, we've testified in front of a Senate committee. Senators, many senators know about this. Senator Grassley took our testimony in front of a Senate committee, and still nothing is being done.
Well, of course, we've got some of the finest politicians in Washington that money can buy. So anyway, of course, now you gave up a career. How long were you with the... were you able to retire? Or
No, I lost everything. I lost my retirement. I lost everything. I mean, what happened is once we left, I foolishly thought, no problem. I'm a college graduate. I have a stellar career. I can go anywhere and get a job.
And you didn't realize that they were going to blacklist you and keep you from getting a job.
That's right. And that's exactly what happened to both Sandy and I. We became blacklisted, and we actually caught them doing this red-handed. We hired a private investigation firm called Documented Reference Check, and they have certified court reporters, and they called up and they do a background on me, like I was applying for employment, and they documented word for word everything these customs managers said, which was not true. And they totally, it ruined my life. I lost everything. I lost my family. I'm divorced now, and my name's not even Catalan anymore. It's back to Fitzgerald. And still nothing's being done.
All right, you hang on there, Darlene, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to tell you that your healthcare costs are rising, and they're really putting your family at risk. If so, you're not alone. Millions of Americans don't have any health care protection at all. And one major medical problem can mean financial ruin. But there's an answer for Christian families, MediShare. A Christian alternative that brings believers together to share medical bills, MediShare is an affordable health care program. You'll save thousands of dollars on your medical costs while providing real security for your family. MediShare is biblical. This is a community of committed, caring Christians who'll be there for you in your time of need. They'll share your medical bills, pray for you, send cards, and send letters of encouragement. To learn more about MediShare, call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and request a free copy of the MediShare booklet. There's absolutely no risk or obligation, but give us a call today and get peace of mind. Remember, call 1-800-544-8927. And then I simply want to mention Phenopoly. If you have children or grandchildren in a government school, you need to get a Phenopoly set, because it'll teach them how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And that's the key. And of course, at one time, all of our children were taught phonics. In 1800, we had a 95% illiteracy rate among the general population. Today, we have over 100 million people who are partially or totally functional illiterate. It didn't happen by accident. They have done this intentionally. Phonics is the key to reading and understanding. This is a board game played like Monopoly. It's for children, and it's for young adults. It's for old adults, and even old folks like me. I played it and enjoyed it. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for Phonopoly. It's $139.95. You'll be glad that you did. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Darlene Catalan, and of course, I guess it's Darlene Fitzgerald at the present time, but she's done what she felt was right. And of course, sometimes when you take a stand, it can be very, very expensive, can't it?
You bet. The ultimate of expense.
Well, of course, now, of course, you're trying, you've actually then taken this case to court. Do you have a lawyer to help you? You must have a good law firm that's, of course, giving you a chance to get the facts out. And, of course, there is a whistleblower organization, and I know you're affiliated with that. And I know that Gary Aldridge, our friend Gary Aldridge, who wrote the book Unlimited Access, who was with the FBI for so many years, and in the White House, the Clinton White House, he has actually worked with your organization, hasn't he?
Yes, Gary Aldridge's organization, the Patrick Henry Center, has absolutely saved us. Had his organization not stepped up and offered to back our play big time in this lawsuit has already cost thousands and thousands of dollars in these depositions, and his organization is paying for that. Otherwise, you know, this is how the government gets away with this. They bleed you out, you have no job, you have no way to afford a lawsuit, and normally a person can't make it into the federal court system or make it through the federal court system. And we managed to get there with the help of Gary Aldridge and also our lawyer, Gaston Beebe. He believes in our case so adamantly. For years, he has never asked for a dime from us at all. And he's taken this case pro bono because he believes in the case. And he's also very much a good guy that believes in justice. And he's just appalled at everything that happened in this case and continues to happen. The federal government is allowing one, they're extending this and extending this and extending this. They come up with one excuse after another to postpone this trial date. And it appears as though this may never get to see the inside of a courtroom because, you know, these federal judges, you know, were basically suing their boss, and that is the federal government. And they have, you're going up against a stacked deck. And it's real clear that, that the word has been put out and the federal government is never going to allow this to see the inside of a courtroom. It's too scandalous. There's too much. It goes up too high. And we have too many incredibly credible witnesses. We have several very high-level GM-14 managers who were testifying in this case on our behalf. And we have a judge. This is a landmark case. This is the first time in the history of history that anyone can find that a judge has testified against the federal government. And that's just too scandalous to allow into a courtroom. Therefore, they're being allowed to continue to ruin us.
But, of course, this is not it has nothing to do with the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. Both political parties been in control, and both of them are going right along with the cover-up, would you say?
Yeah, this happened under the Clinton administration in a big way. But what's happening is it's continuing to be covered up. I think that this administration now is embarrassed because they did nothing, and this case is getting a ton of publicity, and it looks really bad that this administration has done nothing. And not only that, you have a ton of senators and congressmen, congressional leaders, that do not want this case. We're kind of the poster children, this case is, for the Whistleblower Protection Act, that GAP, POGO, which stands, and the Gary Aldridge, Patrick Henry Center. GAP stands for the Government Accountability Project. That's another whistleblower government oversight organization. These organizations, all three, band together and try to come up with a law, some legislation to protect federal government whistleblowers. There is no protection for federal government whistleblowers at all. And that's a scary thought nowadays because, you know, who is minding checking your luggage at airports? All of the airports check people are now federal government employees. Well, how willing are you going to be to go through everything that we've gone through, to lose everything? When to let out your moron supervisor who's risking national security by not doing his job? Well, most people won't.
What about John Ashcroft, our Christian Attorney General? Have you tried to reach his office?
Sir, we have sent letters and we've been on the media. We have gone everywhere. We've testified in front of, you know, senator committees. Congressional leaders have been, we've sent out and emailed and you name it, and also Gary Aldridge. Everybody knows about the story, and it's an embarrassment, and it's easier to kill the messenger, and that's what's happening here. They don't want this law to pass. Here's why.
Now tell us about the law, because explain what this law is all about.
This law protects anyone who is a federal government employee who becomes a whistleblower who basically dimes out their employers for national security interest, which is a good law in the wake of terrorism that we're facing right now. And your congressmen and your senators, think about who works on the Hill for these people. Federal government employees. And there's no doubt in my mind or anyone else's that the reason that they refuse to pass this law is they are covering their elected butts. This law now applies to them if it passes. In other words, their employees can dime them out and be fully protected. And these your elected officials are covering their elected butts instead of doing the right thing for national security. And that's a scary thing. And the war on drugs is just a joke, which the borders are a joke. And proof of that is, ask any DEA agent on the street today, ask any narcotics officer on the street today, and they will tell you the price of cocaine, the price of heroin, is cheaper than ever, cheaper than it was 10 years ago.
I mean, because it's so easy to get in here. And basically, we're trying to make the American people think we're fighting a war on drugs. We're really not. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Now,
what about stopping the terrorists on the border? Because certainly you would be working with the people on the Border Patrol who have the responsibility of keeping the wicked terrorists who are being sent here by the wicked Osama bin Laden out of the country. Are we really trying to keep them out?
That's the joke of this all. That's what the sad... the borders are just an imaginary, elusive border, and it is the biggest fraud on to the American public. Now, think about this. In order for the supply to be meeting the demand and the drug, for the drugs to stay so cheap, what happens to the price of any commodity? If there's a chokehold and that supply is not meeting the demand, the price goes way up. So in other words, according to a DEA statistic released about a year ago, at least 30 to 40 tons every month have to be coming into the border of cocaine. That's just cocaine to meet that supply and demand. And it's probably more. That's probably a conservative estimate. And I'm not even going to get into heroin and marijuana. Well, if that much of that is coming in, guess what else can be coming? Think about it. These pressurized tanker cars that I'm telling you about, you can fill those things with just about anything you want, you know, 10,000, 20,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate, and all the terrorists have to do is copy the modus operandi of what the narcotic smugglers did, and that is online with phony ID and cash. Online, you can send these things on the Internet to 100 different locations in the United States simultaneously within a mile of 100 different national landmarks. And with very little effort, you can explode these remotely. And that's a scary thing. If you think about it, Timothy McVeigh blew up an entire federal building, and he used less than a ton of ammonium nitrate in the back of a van. I can put 20 times that much in one of these tanker cars, and I can put it under pressure. And then they could, you know, you can send them remotely, you can detonate them remotely, and you'll never find out who did these things. And that's what the narcotic smugglers did. And it's very easy to do. This has been, you know, this testimony has gone in front of the Senate committee. Everybody knows about this in government, and no one's doing anything about it. The borders are still wide open. And if they're not, then why is the price of cocaine, marijuana, and heroin, and cocaine and marijuana, cocaine and heroin are not grown naturally in the United States? It's getting here via the borders. And if that's coming in to the point to where it's still cheap, it's still low, then anything else is getting in, too. So that's a very scary thought, and our government is doing very little about it.
Well, now, of course, these government employees, these G-14s, who are testifying for you, they're risking their reputations, aren't they? Are they risking their professions?
You bet they are. They're very scared. In fact, under oath, one of them even talked about that, how he is now retired, but he is, you know, trying a second career, and he's made it very clear that he's concerned that the United States Customs Service is going to retaliate against him and his other career. It's a very scary thing. There's a lot of brave people coming forward, and all of them are risking a lot to do this, and they're definitely, in my mind, heroes to do this.
All right, and of course, you even have a man who today is a judge, and he was formerly a government agent, and he's going to testify on your behalf. And so the last thing that they want is...
It's a woman.
It's a woman, okay.
Yeah.
It's for this information to get out. Now, I read the New York Times, I read the Washington Times, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal on a regular basis. I haven't seen anything in there about this recently. Are you getting any coverage in the so-called liberal media?
No, not in the liberal media at all. Again,
so you're having to use the radio to get the information out.
Yeah, the radio. When we first went real public, and they held one of the first very big press conferences, and Gap and Pogo and the Patrick Henry Center all joined in to have this big press conference, and we were joined by Senator Grassley, who stood up and backed us up. That got a lot of press. It was played on C-SPAN, and then I was on the O'Reilly Factor. But again, these are not liberal television programs by no stretch of the imagination. And you're absolutely right. I have seen with my own two eyes very much bias in the media, the liberal media, because they are very much protecting the Clinton administration. And this,
yeah, but it seems to me the Bush administration is protecting the Clinton administration too.
I think that at this point they're protecting the. They don't. If they recognize that we're right, if they come out publicly and say, this is right, this needs not to be happening, then they have to do something about the Pandora's box of the open border. And that doesn't mean just smoke and mirrors. Right now, all they're doing is smoke and mirrors, and they're selling a fraud to the United States, you know, to the people of the U.S., the taxpayers of the U.S., that the borders are being more secure. And that's simply a fraud. So they can't. They can't come out and say, yeah, this happened, and we're sorry, and they can't acknowledge the fact that we identified this huge Pandora's box, because then they would have to roll up their sleeves and really go to work and do something to fix it.
All right, well, but this isn't just in the Customs Service. It's within the FBI. It's within really every branch of government will go after you if you try to get the truth out. I've talked to a woman who worked for the IRS. And, of course, she realized a total absurdity of everything going on there. When she tried to do something about it or even report it simply within the structure of her organization, they went after her. We talked to a gentleman who worked in the FBI laboratory who pointed out the FBI was intentionally, the agents were falsifying their testimony as far as the Oklahoma City bombing. And, of course, that's Dr. Wycliffe. I'm sure you know him. What's his name? Fred Whiters.
Yeah.
And, of course, Fred, we even have him on our four-tape set on the FBI, telling about how these FBI agents were perjuring themselves. Nothing's ever done to them. Oh, we're going to clean this up. Gee, how could this possibly have happened? So it appears to be a situation of permeating every aspect of government. Maybe it's just a little worse in the customs office.
Yeah, it's definitely, you're absolutely correct. I've received, you know, once we went public and, you know, did get media attention and the book is out there, I've received calls from hundreds of whistleblowers who have just been destroyed. I've had grown men on the phone crying on the phone to me about how their lives were destroyed because they chose to stand up and grow a spine and try to do something to better their agency. And it's just the attitude of it's easier to kill the messenger. And part of it, too, is this. Most of these agencies have a built-in crony system of management. And what I mean by that is this. The promotion system within these agencies are the good old boy crony promotion system. There's no objectivity whatsoever. You're a yes person and a butt kisser. It doesn't matter how good of an agent you are. In fact, probably if you're a really good agent, they won't promote you because that means they can't really control you. If you're a yes person and a half, you know, way agent and they can control you, that's how you get promoted. That's the only way you're going to get promoted in these agencies. Well, what happens is the cream of the crop is not running these agencies, not by any respect. And these managers will tend to promote, you know, mediocre clones of themselves. So you have the crony system of getting promoted, not any objectivity whatsoever. So these agencies are built on the foundation of sand, basically. And, you know, nobody, there are very few really good managers in the system running these agencies. And if a couple of them do slip through the cracks and they start trying to do their job correctly, they quickly weed them out and they get rid of them.
And I know we saw this in the FBI with Mr. John O'Neill, who was trying to do something about terrorism. He was trying to investigate it, Islamic terrorism, trying to investigate the bombing of the Cole, trying to investigate the Islamic terrorist movement in the United States. He was a deputy director of the FBI. He wasn't allowed to. He finally quit his job, and of course on September 11th, he was walking between one building and the other, and he mysteriously disappeared, never to be seen again after he had quit the FBI. But he knew an awful lot about the efforts that were made to block the investigation of the Islamic terrorist movement in the United States. Well, now, of course, when is this case? You're just taking depositions on a regular basis, what is the next scheduled date when this is to go to court? I know they're going to do everything they can to put this off and put it off, but when is it scheduled to go to court?
Okay, it has been scheduled to go to court like three times. We just had it scheduled to go to court in September, and I just found out yesterday that they allow another postponement, and we don't even know when the next scheduled court date's going to be. And it is just beyond ludicrous that the government is allowed to continue. And what's happening in the meanwhile is we're still being blackballed. I still can't get decent employment. My life is totally destroyed. So is Sandy. So is Rubens. And they continue to wear you down until you just can't function anymore. The only reason we're still surviving this is we have a lawyer, thank God, that hasn't asked for a dime, and we have these whistleblower organizations backing us up. Think about the poor, all of the hundreds, and I do mean hundreds, of whistleblowers who don't have that. They can't make it into the system. They can't make it through the system. That's why this is so prevalent.
Well,
the government bullies people and is allowed to get away with it because they can.
And, of course, the good people go right along because it doesn't involve them.
Exactly.
But men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose.
Yeah, and your elected officials, the one thing that they could do about this that would go a long, long way to solving the problem is simply pass this Senate bill. It's Senate Bill S-995, the Whistleblower Protection Act, and, of course, your government officials refused to do that, which puts everyone at risk for national security. And the American public needs to wake up real quick and recognize this. This is a very dangerous thing. This is Russian roulette that your elected officials are playing with not passing this law.
All right, we're just about out of time. The book, of course, is Badge of Dishonor. If you'd like to get a copy, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Darlene, I'd like to get you on our other programs. I want to keep this before the public as much as we can. Can I call you and get you on?
Yes, please. We need all the help we can get. Any help and any publicity we can get about this is greatly appreciated.
We will do everything we can. God bless you. And thanks so much, and thanks for having the courage to do what's right.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. This is Dr. Stan. We'll be right back here in just a moment to wrap up this program here at Radio Liberty.
That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, Ear to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention the Miracle 2 soap products, which are carried here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, Miracle 2 soap products consist of a soap and a moisturizing soap and a lotion and a gel and an alkaline solution. And all we can do is tell you that the people who use these products very often will tell us the miraculous things that have happened to them. And, of course, the gel has so many uses, you know, as far as different rashes and things. We can't tell you it's going to help, but all you can do is try it and see if it works. I know I have an Electronon Versa, and I put it on there, and it really gets the pain out. My wife has some pain in her knee, and the lotion or the gel really seems to help. She takes the neutralizing solution for heartburn, and certainly it's helped her. I use the soap on a regular basis and the gel on a rash. All we can do is suggest you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like more information, why, of course, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We'll be glad to send you information, or hopefully you'll want to go ahead and buy an introductory offer at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we hope that many of you out there will want, of course, to set up an Institute of the Constitution in your community to teach people about the Christian heritage of America, one of the most carefully kept secrets of our time. That and the fact that America is not a democracy. Our founding fathers did not want democracy, and everybody who talks about democracy is either stupid, illiterate, or, of course, they know exactly what they're doing. But as James Madison said, democracies are rare spectacles of turbulence and contention, are incompatible with personal liberty and the rights of private property, and are usually shorter than their lives as they are violent in their deaths. Call 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. For the Constitution. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when, of course, I need to remind you out there in the listening audience that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're dependent upon you to help and for your help and support as we reach out across America 5 hours every day trying to educate the American people about the spiritual battle that is taking place today. those of you who heard Darlene Catalan's story. I mean, frustrating, but you must understand there are evil and wicked people in our government. And they're being covered up by people at the highest echelons of our government because there is a brotherhood of darkness. And our effort is to make people understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And if you haven't yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you really need to get it. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness, and if you read it, it'll change your life forever. And I've had many people tell me that. I had a lawyer call me and tell me he'd watched the video from which the book is taken 4 different times, and he learned something every time he watched it. So if you'd like to get the book, $12.95, the video $19.95, the book, the video, and the audio tape, all for $29.95. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but you'll be helping us do what we do as we reach out across America, educating people to pay for the radio time is on some 55 outlets every week where message is being heard. And actually, I found another couple of stations that are pulling down our program. So the number is getting out up there. I hope very soon we'll be at 60 stations. But we depend upon those of you out there who believe in what we're doing to stand with us. And so, again, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, we'll be glad to send you one. The March newsletter will tell you the truth about why we went into Iraq. And it didn't have to do with oil or weapons of mass destruction or to protect Israel or to protect the dollar. But it was, although all of those things probably played a part, but of course we give you the real reason put out by the people on the other side of what this was all about. The group known as the Project for the New American Century, who control the presidency today. And if you'd like to document that, why, of course, you can get the Iraq the Untold Story video, and we'll give you their information, or get our syllabus that has all the documentation from their websites, not from our website, but from their website. You need to have this information, and then, of course, you need to help us get the truth out across America today. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't tried Alamax, let me suggest that you do. It's an Allicin product, and Allicin's the active ingredient in garlic, and I've taken it for, I guess about 8 months now, and I'm in pretty good shape considering my age. Call them at 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. If you'd like to see what the various Berkey filters, the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light filters look like, and learn a little bit about them, that's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we want to mention Phonopoly. If you love your grandchildren and your children, get them a Phonopoly set so they can learn to read phonetically and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you'd like to learn about MediShare, a Christian sharing program that helps people provide for their health care coverage, it's available only to Christians. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers, but we ask you to remember, pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, this is Dr. Stain saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.